Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky, who else said it? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Gretzky, Michael Scott. Cade Cunningham said, I miss 69% of the shots I do take. He shot 31% and scored 47. 47 points with 31% shooting. And they won in overtime. When Kobe did it, they lost. So when Michael missed 24 shots, they lost. Kobe had 30 misses, they lost. Cade Cunningham's just a winner. That's all. Came here and won. Beat one of the great teams in NBA history. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here. The Texans. So there are a few different things here to talk about. One of them is the running back situation. Okay. The running back situation is Woody Marks, right? I mean, Woody Marks is the – I mean, what more does the dude have to do to show at least, at the very least, he's better than Nick Chubb? And D'Amico says there's a positive about what – here's D'Amico talking about the running back situation yesterday.
I thought Woody, you know, he played fast. He made plays, especially plays on the perimeter, which is where I've seen him shine the most when he can get the ball in space. And you know, he did a really nice job of handling the bulk of the carries for us. And when Chubb came in and got his opportunities, man, you talk about it, he had some explosive runs. He ran physical. You know, he looked like he had a little extra burst to him, so it was good, a 1-2 punch that we were able to use. Those guys did a really good job.
Well, and it was at the end of the game that Nick Chubb had a couple of big runs there in that last drive, and in large part because Woody's playing and Nick Chubb is still fresh, right?
Yeah, and Nick Chubb, you know, he said he thought Nick Chubb had more burst and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but I think there is something to sometime in season, I mean, Nick Chubb's just going to have a better day. Just feel like he's got a little something extra. Like, you know, probably like a lot of people, just some days you have a little bit more and some days you don't. But Woody is they want to go more lightning first and then thunder. He talked about Woody being really good on the perimeter outside. I don't think Woody's the greatest. I've already told you at kind of diagnosing the interior. But when he gets outside, you're dealing with a plus athlete with plus speed in good size, and it was a winner for them. That's something that worked for them. And then Nick Chubb, once it started, you know, Bucky Brooks talked about that game. Bucky watched the Jacksonville game on the sideline. He was a sideline reporter, and Bucky works at NFL Network, and I did Move the Sticks podcast. He said, I knew Jacksonville was in major trouble because they were gassed in the fourth quarter. He said the Texans ran 33 plays in the fourth quarter, and I didn't even realize that. And he goes, you could see that the run defense was getting soft and mushy because they had been beat up and they were just really tired. They were really tired. And he said all of a sudden Houston was able to start controlling the run game. And that's what the run game is. It's like body punching and boxing. Like, it's supposed to pay off later. And that's what it was doing. Like, they were running the ball late in the game. They had mm-hmm. success running the ball in the second half. They really did.
It's so funny. You know, yeah, they were on the field for 33 plays. So what's the offense? They were on the field for 33 plays as well. But when you're on offense, it definitely is you're more invigorated as opposed to tired. It just is, especially when you're having success moving the ball. It just is, you know, the other team's on the field too. There was a question too. Actually, Houston Stressens, Texans commenter, he does a really good job. Follow him and some of the sound that we get sometimes. So thanks for that for Houston Stressens. But he was talking about the Cam Robinson trade. And now with Titus down Yeah, D'Amico had said, you know, we're doing the best. We want to do well by Cam. He wants to play, so we're going to move him to Cleveland. He's been playing, not great, whatever. But now you could use, Stressens is saying, now you could really use him because with Titus down, you might even, you know, if Cam was here, maybe Ursary's the right tackle, Cam Robinson's the left tackle, Titus is a guard when Titus comes back.
Well, they tried that. I disagree with that.
I disagree with that. First of all, Trent Brown didn't do a bad job.
So apparently Trent Brown did not lose. According to D'Amico, he didn't lose one rep.
Yeah.
One-on-one pass, bro, he never lost a rep.
Excuse me.
Uh-oh.
What?
I have memories of Davis Mills running for his life on the touchdown where Trevon Walker beat Trent Brown clean.
Ran left. You mean from the right?
It was a touchdown, Del, so it wasn't a loss.
The touchdown. No, well, he ran because he was running for his life because Trevon Walker beat Trent Brown clean. Even J.J. said it in the middle of a play.
Touchdown.
What a pass, what a rep by Trevon Walker in the middle of the play.
Well, you may be well, actually, but Trent Brown played well.
I didn't say he didn't play well, but I distinctly remember.
According to D'Amico, because it was a touchdown.
I'm sorry. According to, I take it back. According to PFF, he got a 44.
Yeah, so he did not play
extraordinarily low pass blocking grade.
Yeah, and the final Texans offensive play, or at least
I'm gonna look
before
right
the
now.
2-point conversion.
I got three pressures. I'm going to look at them all.
There was one play where he went inside, and, well, there were two guys on him, and he had to pick up the guy inside, and Walker's running free without a. JJ even said, no, that's not a good – he didn't even get blocked. No one blocked him.
Was that
him.
The one where he got hit with the 15-yarder for falling on Davis Mills?
It might have been that one.
Oh, okay, so he gets sacked here. Oh, this is the 15-yard penalty. So, technically, he tried to reach out and cut him as fast as he could, so he lost that one. Trent Brown lost that one because he tried.
Well,
he was at a wide
said
nine.
He didn't lose any, so if that.
Well, that's.
I don't know what you're concerned
well,
about.
Well, that was literally a sack, but it was technically not a sack because.
Because there's a penalty.
What
they're doing.
Listen, here's the Davis Mills one. So he gets blocked, but he makes an inside move.
It sure would be nice to have Titus back, and hopefully he will be back. He's still in protocol, right? But I don't know that you're moving Ursary off left tackle, period. Not for Cam Robinson. If Cam Robinson was still here,
no.
I'm not moving Ursary off
left
tackle.
Cam will have to go the right side.
Yeah. I'm just not. Ursary is doing a really nice job.
Yeah, Dell's right. He was running for his life on that one. That was one where he reached. Yeah, I'm not sure D'Amico is right on this whole he didn't lose one battle. Like, these are quick losses here. A lot of lunging and stuff.
You've got a problem at left guard. You've got a problem at right guard. You've got a problem with Titus being out. But you got Blake Fisher, where I think it's a good spot for him, right? I mean, that's been successful, the 6-0 lineman.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a good thing. But I'm not sure that Cam Robinson on this offensive line would be a positive.
You know, it gives you look, would it have been beneficial to have him and have his experience? Sure. Sure. When you lost Titus Howard and you only had – because maybe you could have gone to your 6 offensive line looks. Have you thought about that? I mean, Blake could have been your 6th offensive line. You could have run more 6-0 line stuff if you had a guy like that in there.
Well, you're still doing Blake. That's why – you know what? They put Trent Brown in, and I don't know why they put Sidy Sow in. I have no idea. I still don't understand that. But you put Trent Brown in, and you still had Blake Fisher as your 6th guy. And I think that was maybe the reason they didn't want. Although, when you went to 6 offensive linemen.
CD Sal's pass blocking grade was 18.
Pardon me?
CD Sal had a pass blocking grade of 18.2.
He was terrible.
Ooh, he only had 7 reps in pass pro.
Yeah, no, they pulled him. They pulled him in the first quarter.
You mean a guy who hasn't played any football this year, literally 0 snaps, struggled against Jacksonville? That's weird.
How did he start?
I don't know.
I know that question wasn't asked because it was Victory Monday.
Why is that how bad Juice Scruggs is? You took a guy off the practice squad and put him as a starter?
Because Juice Scruggs was much better in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they trying to tell Juice Scruggs? They put him on. How bad must he be behind the scenes? Does he just take his funky-ass shoes off and have funky feet in the meeting room and put them up on Like, what does he do to piss people off to where they say, just go hold the pad. CeeDee Sell, get in here. Like, I don't even know what anyone's name is. Just block somebody. And
I didn't know what a CeeDee Sell was. And when he started, I texted the group. I said, who the is CeeDee Sell?
I thought that was a feeding hog that they raised for FFA, a CeeDee Sell. I was like, oh, that must be a feeding hog that they raised for Future Farmers of America.
You called that man a feeding hog.
CeeDee Sell? That doesn't sound like some type of, like a hog farmer, some type of a pig that gets sold at a championship auction, a CeeDee Sell?
No,
it doesn't. It doesn't sound like a guard.
Well, then play like
protect.
One.
Well,
maybe he's going to be better on auction than he is.
I don't want to do this.
Okay,
I don't want to.
He was certainly wasn't very good at guard. I know that
he wasn't.
He was not.
Look,
all right,
we push it aside because they won. But someone explain to me,
yeah,
D'Amico, Cole Popovich, how did he win the job during the week?
I mean, I honestly don't. The other guy actually has played for you this year. This is a practice squad guy who wasn't even a full-time starter in the NFL. How do you do that? You think he's going to be another Jake Andrews? Like, no, that's not what's going on here.
All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. I got to talk about Pro Dunk. I got to talk about Keith Tate. What a great, great business that guy has grown. We've been talking about Pro Dunk for 30 going on 30 years now, I think. I mean, we started back in the day, back at the old station, talking about Pro Dunk, and it's evolved into, it's incredible. It is just an incredible business to Keith Tate. He sends them around the world, around the world. That's how big this is. Pro Dunk is the best goal. Not even, I don't know. I don't have any idea of the statistics, but he's got to be one of the biggest. They've got to be one of the biggest in the country. He and his son are doing an unbelievable job of getting goals to people. And you have responded, Houston, in an incredible way. We had one, loved our goal. It's the best goal you can possibly have. It's all the best material, the tempered glass backboard, the unrustable stanchion, the push button that raises and lowers the goal. The installation is phenomenal. It'll never, ever go away. It is the best goal you can possibly get. And that's what the kids want, Dad. The kids want to be able to play outside. They want to love their goal. They want to dunk. They want the goal to be perfect. Your wife wants that. You want curb appeal. You got it all. There's one place to go if you're getting a goal. ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com. Tell them you heard it.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Baseball offseason going on. And we heard that Christian Walker might be on the move. That's something. Some parody site put out that Kyle Tucker has re-signed with the Astros, which is not going to happen. I mean, the numbers that they're talking about for Kyle Tucker are just ridiculous, ridiculous. But the Astros need pitching, and we're told that they are going to get pitching and a frontline starter. Rumor has it that JV might be a guy returning to the city of Houston. But John Morosi, the hottie that was with the baseball show?
The hottie that was with the baseball show is not how she wants to be referred to.
Do you have a name for her? The hag? What do you want me to call her?
The hag?
That's a compliment.
Oh, the hag, you said?
Yeah, that hag.
Dale, do you know who the hottie is who was on that baseball show?
I don't know. That description, I will find the clip.
Is it the one who used to be in New England Sports?
No. She married the third baseman? No.
It's not her. It's a name that we would all butcher. I have to figure it out. But I recognize her face.
Oh, not the one who was on the side during the World Series? Oh, I know who you're talking about. She was in the World Series with when we were in 22 when the Astros won it. She was Lauren Shahidi or something like that.
Is that, Lauren, is that it is Lauren. It's Lauren.
Something like that. Shahidi.
Yeah.
Lauren Shahidi, Shahadi, something
like that. Yeah, see, that's what I said. The Hadi, Shahadi.
Oh, Hadi. Oh, you meant as in H-A-D-I.
No, he didn't
okay.
mean that.
Okay. He was referring to her name.
No.
Not physical attributes, Dale.
You guys don't just.
So I misheard you. You said Shahadi, not the Hadi.
I said Shahadi.
Okay. That's my mistake.
That's what I said. Anyway, here's the conversation they had about Dylan Cease.
Durable. Very, very durable right-handed pitcher. And there was a reason why at the deadline this year there was such interest from other clubs in acquiring him from San Diego. And I did some checking the last couple of days to confirm that at the deadline in July, the team that was most interested in him, the Houston Astros. And when you think about the Astros and their depth chart right now, Lauren, with Framber Valdez now being a free agent, I'm sure we'll get into Framber as the week goes along, they have a significant need for starting pitching help now in their rotation via free agency. And this resume right here, Dylan Cease, you talked about the reliability, Lauren, and everything that he's done. Those are strong innings totals for Dylan Cease. He's such a talented pitcher. His ability to generate velocity, the quality of the secondary stuff. And you think, too, he is someone that in the right environment, it's a tough place to pitch there in Houston. But when you consider that ballpark, I think his stuff would play very well there. So for the Astros, who we know are always trying to find ways to compete, they've had different pitchers be injured in recent years, but I think especially with Framber being a free agent, Dylan Cease to the Astros probably has as much of a chance of happening as any other free agent prediction out there.
Dylan Cease had an off year. Dylan Cease went, I mean, listen, in 2022, he was, and we saw how filthy he was. I mean, that dude, he had a 2.2 ERA that year, a 1.11 whip. This year, he had a 4.55 ERA and a 1.33 whip. Not good. Not good. But we seen Dylan Cease at his best. Remember, there was one game. Boy, what a pitcher's, one of the best pitcher's duel we've seen in years. Dylan Cease, may have been in 23. I forget when it was, but he was absolute. Well, he has a slider that, you know, and that's like kryptonite for the Astros sometimes. It just is. It's just so, when it's bad, it's bad for the Astros with a guy with a good slider. But he was just filthy. Not so much this year. I wonder, he seems to be an every other year guy. He had a 2.20 and then a 4.58, then a 3.47, now a 4.55. Maybe this is going to be a good year. Plus, he doesn't get Murphy anymore. He gets Miller, right? Murphy's gone.
I don't have the same confidence I did that the Astros can just take a pitcher and turn him and magically get the best out of him. Maybe they can, but I haven't really seen that. I haven't really seen that this year. I mean, I guess you could say some minor leaguers came up and did a good job. I guess that's something you could say.
I mean, damn, they had a lot of young guys that came up and they did some really nice things for
them. Did you forget about?
Well, I'm thinking about Eric Geddy and Javier, and I didn't see them hit what I was expecting them to hit when they came back. Well, hit the level.
Oh. Did Javier re-injure himself? I don't remember. Everyone gets hurt. Did he stay?
Garcia.
Okay. He didn't get hurt again. Garcia did.
Garcia's career ended, but
Certainly his Astros.
Eric Geddy did, obviously.
5 years, 145. That's the projection from ESPN for Dylan Cease.
I'll be honest with you. That's Fromber's payout.
Except
$28 million.
They have Framber at 28, but for 6 years. Dylan Cease, they got that coming out to 29 AAV. $29 million.
Yeah.
So you're paying Dylan. You won't pay Framber, but you'll pay Dylan Cease.
What are you going to have to pay Hunter?
Hunter's not in.
You mean what the Yankees are going to have to pay Hunter?
Yeah, $37 million, $38
million.
Yeah, he's a Yankee.
Or a Dodger.
Yeah, Yankee or Dodger.
Or a Tiger.
Will he take $3 this year and then take the rest of it over the next 30? I don't know. If you're willing to, you're a Dodger.
You mean 3 years from now?
Yeah, you're a Dodger. If you don't want a paycheck for about 3 years, you can be a Dodger, too.
Yeah. Damn. I don't want to lose Hunter.
Well, too bad. That's none Hunter's of your business.
Embrace reality.
Stop messing with Jim Crane's money.
I am, no.
Do you want Jim Crane to go broke? Do you want him to go broke? Okay? You can't afford a Hunter Brown and a Jose Altuve and a Yordan. You can't do it. You're going to have to start letting him walk.
I mean, I don't want Hunter. You got to keep Hunter. That's
okay.
All.
Okay.
All right? That's all I'm saying.
Sounds nice. Just in a vacuum.
Get it done, Jim. Get it done.
Pay that man.
I'm sure he will take
Let's do pay that man
that
shirts again.
And go forward.
Let's do pay that man shirts.
We got Carlos back, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, a cheaper rate.
Not a, yeah, like 3 years later, 4 years later.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we
So you want Hunter Brown to leave? And then
well, you got Justin Verlander back.
That's true. We got Justin back.
We got allegedly. Hector Neris back. We got, actually, they got Machete back. Actually, there is a long history of the Astros getting guys back when they're washed. Yeah. Who else can they get back? Is George, like, what's up with George?
George had a great year.
I know. Is George,
2 years from now, you may get George
2 years, yeah.
You didn't want all those years of George. Now you want him.
36, 37?
Sure.
Yeah.
We get him when he's 37.
That's all right.
And actually.
This is when you want him.
Actually, there's been lots of relief pitchers they brought back.
Oh.
Machete, we got multiple
machetes.
What
about bringing Kikuch back?
Yeah.
Well. He's still under contract with the Angels.
Well, what about cutting Lance McCullers and then bringing him back?
As a what?
As a starter.
Oh, as a pitcher. Okay.
Yeah. As a team barista. What's wrong with you?
I didn't say team barista.
What, as a pitcher, you said?
As a vendor.
Not as a team chaplain.
As a vendor.
Not a vendor. He's not going to be a vendor. He doesn't have a vendor's license to.
He does who?
Well, he actually technically runs. Yeah. Yeah.
Bring him back as a vendor.
Yeah,
I mean, he does have to go through the vendor process of he has to get his permits from the city and
sure.
stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's
true. That's true. Yep. But that's also an advantage to have a pitcher who does have permits.
He makes coffee for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's not actually it's not bad.
That's what Sean said Nick Cayley did for Sean McVay.
But make coffee.
He was his coffee guy.
Like, who can we get off their tree?
Let's get the guy.
What about this guy, McVay? What about this guy, Cayley?
He didn't call plays.
That's where Sean got the joke from. He never called plays.
No.
But he didn't get him coffee.
You don't know that he didn't do that in addition to, maybe, you know, hey, wipe down the whiteboard.
You don't know.
I want to draw some new stuff up there. Nick, can you get that, please? Or he might be the, can you get that for the light? Maybe they're doing old school overheads. Like, hey, can you get that? Yeah, yeah.
And while you're there, give me your coffee.
Hey, Nick, get the light.
Hey, and throw me one of those granola bars. Because there's at an NFL facility, there's snacks all over the place.
All over.
You can't believe how much snacks are around there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's catch up on breaks, although we're still not caught up. Let's talk about our man, Billy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
How about he's giving away water heaters now? I mean, is that crazy?
Yeah.
Is that crazy for thinking, wait a minute. A water heater you're going to give people? Yeah, he's going to give people a water heater. If you get, what is it, you have to repipe? If you repipe, Billy Brown says, you know what, let me throw in a water heater for you. Because. That's what Billy Brown does. Billy Brown is, I mean, I don't know many plumbers. Do you know many plumbers, Lance?
No.
I really don't.
No.
It does have a shady connotation, really. I mean, plumbers in New York, like they're all like, I just feel like they really are not great people, not great.
Mm-mm.
And they're shady and they're really, really rich. That's just not the case here. I mean, Billy's got like, I don't know how many trucks on the street now. It's unbelievable how big and how good he is. But the fact of the matter is, guys, they don't have the plumber crack thing going on. You know what I'm saying? They don't have any of that. None of that New York plumber feel. They feel like they're just good, honest people. That's what I found.
Yeah. Billy Brown, this is what I found through using them. They get out there quick. They don't charge you a price to come out and to designate and to figure out what's going on. They have a plan to fix it quickly, and they're completely transparent. And that's what they do. They fix small problems, but they also fix major problems like leaks under your slab that require you to get new piping.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Yeah, we'll have to do a make good for Billy on that one. We didn't even get the number is 281-488-6238.
I was going to let you say the number and Doug will cut it off because of that argument we had earlier about Tyler Hero going to the Mavs.
That's not the reason. I was not thinking about that.
It's probably why.
Because he's going to lose his shooting guard.
281-488-6238. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Yeah. That's what it is. All right, 713-780-3776 is our number. If you want to get in here, you are more than welcome to do that. This story, did you see that a guy from Corpus Christi is now facing 6 counts of terrorist threatening,
yeah,
and 1 count of extortion, and a warrant is out for his arrest. This guy, he threatened Jeff Brohm, his family, offensive coordinator Brian Brohm, and Louisville quarterback Miller Moss. He must have lost a bet. But apparently, the attempted extortion involves Moss, and this guy's name is Brian Mandel. They alleged to have tried to obtain property of a value of $10,000 or more from the Cardinals quarterback by threatening to inflict bodily injury.
Huh.
I mean, what is a guy from Corpus Christi doing going after Louisville people? I don't understand.
You probably said it. Probably had action.
So he lost. I'm tracking. He lost money in this theory, and then he decided, since he lost money, maybe on Louisville, California. How long has this been going on? When did this start? Because
It was the 8th and 9th. It was after the Cal game.
So they lost in overtime.
Wait, it's just now.
Yeah, so they lost in overtime to Cal. Cal went forward on 4th and goal in overtime and scored the winning touchdown. And then he decided, hey, Miller Moss, since you lost me this game, I'm going to need what from you?
$10,000. Property.
Or I'm going to beat your ass?
I need $10,000.
Yeah. Or I will inflict bodily injury.
I hacked your phone and I've got all your pictures. I've got all your wang pictures. And I'm going to put them all out there. Because one thing I've learned from Euphoria is everybody under the age of 30 has just a camera, a phone full of pictures of
wang. There's a story, and it's a sad one, on ESPN they did maybe a couple months ago now, where like athletes in smaller towns, like people would reach out to them and pretend to be women. Hey, start flirting with them, and the guys would wind up sending those pics to them, and now they start blackmailing them.
Mm-hmm.
And one kid, unfortunately, committed suicide because he said, my life was going to be over. Please don't do this. And they say, hey, then you owe me my money, and then I want more. And then he was like, you know what? I can't deal. Said goodbye.
Terrible.
And was like, yeah, so it happens.
Yep, terrible. If this is gambling related, gambling has taken a beating over the last few months. Just an absolute ass kicking for the perception of gambling.
Is this AI or a parody site? Greg Sankey, can someone confirm this? He says he thinks there's a real scenario where the SEC is an 8-bid conference.
That sounds completely logical for Sankey to say.
I've had many conversations with individual selection committee members, and we have discussed how Missouri, Vanderbilt, and even Tennessee simply deserve to be in the playoffs. It's a no-brainer that the SEC has carved out at least 6 to 8 spots in the playoffs. Is that true? Is that true?
I can't find it either.
Yeah.
Somebody's just saying what they think
he thinks. You know what? I could see him saying that.
Yeah, it wound up on like College Football Reddit, but they've removed it for satire.
Yeah, it's probably live.
It's satire.
Yeah, it's live.
Although
it sounds plausible, would say something like that.
Did you see Galloway and Herb Street? Galloway posed this question to Herb Street: is the Big Ten closer to the SEC or the ACC?
B.
It's closer to the ACC.
Well, you have Ohio State, who's a hammer.
You got Indiana. Oregon.
No. SEC. No, SEC.
Oregon.
SEC. Oregon is just kind of, I don't know. There's not a lot of juice behind Oregon, right? right now.
Well, but they're
you got one and two.
They're a top 10 team.
You got one and two. No, I know they are, but it feels like a fading top 10 team. But you have Iowa that's a tough out.
Yeah.
You know, Iowa's a pretty good team, tough out. Michigan actually has a good
USC.
Yeah, no, it's in SEC.
Washington.
Yeah,
but it's the SEC. Bottom, like there's 40 Big Ten teams now. So like the bottom of the conference is not good.
But you're never judged by the bottom. And you're gonna be judged by your top six usually. A lot of times top three to four, but let's just say top six. Michigan's more SEC than ACC. ACC doesn't have that as much in the mid tier.
I'd say top tier.
Well, that's actually the problem. They're all mid tier.
Yeah,
Duke, Georgia Tech, Miami, Louisville.
Well,
who else? Who else am I missing in there?
Virginia.
Oh yeah, actually UVA.
With Clemson and Florida State being as bad as they are, you know the ACC's lost a lot of.
Well, I mean, and Mario Cristobal being Mario Cristobal helped that cause because you know they're riding high.
Because if you had Miami at one point. Now, Florida State and Clemson just bailed early in the year. But there was one point you'd say Louisville, Virginia, although no one seems to have believed in Virginia this whole time.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. But you could have said Louisville, Miami.
Georgia Tech,
who I think is a good team, but they just got beat. But, yeah, I think Big Ten's closer to SEC.
I would think so, too. Their conclusion, or Galloway's conclusion, is he's closer to the ACC.
I don't know if he watches enough ACC football because, woof. Even their, you just watch their main competition for the ACC title game. Georgia Tech got smoked by NC State a couple weeks ago. Virginia, now I don't know how many people are watching it because it's late night ACC football. They got beat by Wake Forest after Chandler Morris gets hurt. And then we just laid out why that guy is going after Louisville. They lost in overtime at home. By the way, the Wake Forest beating of Virginia in Virginia. And Louisville lost at home to Cal. So, Galloway, more power to you. But I don't believe what he's saying is true.
These are two Ohio State guys bashing the Big Ten. No wonder they got run out of the state.
I mean, you want to watch ACC football at night begging because your team has already lost a couple games. You're looking for any way path in. That's what I was doing on Saturday. I can't believe they think the Big Ten is comparable.
No.
No. You gotta have a bad opinion of the Big Ten.
Yeah, if you think what...
I know, he said they're both Ohio State guys.
I get it, but the Big Ten, as we laid out, has three top 10 teams and the number one team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You got two traditional powers in Michigan and USC having pretty good years. Nah. Mm-mm. They're closer to the SEC than they are to the ACC. Wake Forest is beating the top of the conference. What are we talking about?
Are they closer to the Big 12?
No, they're closer to the SEC.
Big 12's a pretty good conference.
You got three teams in the top 10. Come on, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Big 12 has one team there.
Including 1 and 2.
Yeah, I mean, they're 1 and 2. They have number 1 and number 2, and we're asking if they're not even good as the SEC.
BYU's a good team.
I'll say this. Georgia's hung on for dear life multiple times this year. Alabama, I'm not sure I'm really, frankly, believing where Alabama is ranked. A&M is a high scoring. I'm going to put some respect on their name. But I don't think this, as LSU's been turned into a law. I like Ole Miss personally. SEC, why are we at Tennessee's just, you know, they're pretty good. We acting like the SEC some hammer this year. They're not. The SEC is not a hammer. This is kind of a dumb conversation. Big Ten is absolutely in there with the SEC this year. I don't know why they're even going after the Big Ten.
Oklahoma's a good program. Texas is good.
Oklahoma's fine. They're a mid. They're a second tier team.
I mean, the SEC is a battle.
No one said it's not, but to say the Big Ten,
Vanderbilt's a tough.
The top six Big Ten teams should be considered with the top six SEC teams, not the top six ACC teams. I don't think that's very smart by Galloway. You didn't think so either, John, earlier in this conversation.
No. But the bottom of the – I mean, Wisconsin is terrible. Terrible. And
offense.
They've got some bad
– Purdue's not very good.
Terrible, but they just beat Washington.
Yeah, I know.
It was a top 25.
No, actually, Wisconsin's got pretty stout. They got some salty guys on defense. They're just not very good on offense at all.
They're terrible on offense. Dude, that was their that was their first conference win.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
They hadn't had a conference win in
But who's assessing conferences based on the bottom four teams? Like, nobody does that.
Yeah. Like, are we just ranking? Oh, SEC, they got Arkansas. They're terrible.
Yeah, no one ever says that. Terrible. Kentucky sucks.
Auburn stinks.
Yeah.
Well,
the SEC gets a pass from too many people.
Yeah, but
the Gators are bad.
They're a great conference, but there's some teams that are disappointing this year in the SEC too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you see, Texas went into Kentucky and had a real problem with them.
Yeah,
a real problem.
I mean, yeah. I would argue that Texas has been disappointing up to this point so far. Not like Clemson disappointing or anything like that.
No. All right, we got a break. Let's talk a little Zadik Jewelers.
Well, let's talk about, you know, this is a time the Zadik Jewelers really shines because it's gift-giving time. And once you hit the holiday season, you start shopping for gifts. And you, as – I'm going to talk to the husbands right now. If as a husband, this may be a year where you want to do something special. Maybe you've had something cooked up. Maybe the wife has been great. She's been taking care of the kids. She just had a baby, and you want to make this a combination push gift and Christmas gift or whatever the case may be. You say, I want to go a little bigger this year. I suggest you go to Zadik Jewelers because what that's going to tell her is that you really, when she sees that box, that gift-giving box, and it's wrapped up and she opens it and she sees Zadik, she's going to know that you got the best there was in the city of Houston because they are the best jeweler. They've got 28,000 square feet of every designer you can possibly imagine, every type of piece of jewelry, from earrings to diamond pendants and necklaces, bracelets, tennis bracelets, and of course engagement rings are the best. But this is a chance for you to get the perfect gift for her and to really really make her happy. And if it's not about scoring points for you, which we all like scoring points, let's be honest, but if you just want to make her happy and show her how much you care, Zadik Jewelers works every single time. 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. Go online and take a look at some of what they're offering today at Zadik.com.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We talked about the Rockets so far. They play tomorrow night against Washington. Oh, the return of Cam Whitmore.
Did you see his act last night?
No, what'd he do?
No, they played Detroit. Really good game. It's a good night in the NBA. So for anyone who had YouTube TV and couldn't watch the Monday night game, which was a stinker, the NBA provided some entertainment. But in the game, he goes up to contest a shot from Cade Cunningham. He fouls Cade Cunningham hard. Cade Cunningham hits the deck and is on the ground for a little bit. Cam Whitmore stands over him, stares him down while Cade. And you know the Pistons are part of the not effing around crew. They don't mess around, and particularly when you do something to their star.
They got Isaiah Stewart.
Yeah, so there was a conversation to be had.
Well, Cam gets in on everything, and he's not even on the floor.
And then Cam did the whole, I'm unbothered, because he like wiped his feet on the floor like, this doesn't bother me. What are you guys doing? So Cam is still Cam, I'll say that.
Oh, they were pissed at him the other day in Washington because I saw a whole thing in Washington that he was sitting on the bench, wasn't getting into games. It was big key moments, and he wasn't cheering for the team, and he had taken a bunch of bad shots, and it was just like, it's the exact same thing that's happening in Washington for him.
Should the Rockets give a video tribute where he's sitting on the bench, looking up at the ceiling, not participating in the huddle? A video tribute.
Nothing's worse.
Welcome back, Cam.
Cam Whitmore is some of the worst body language I've seen in Houston sports since my birth. I don't know that I've seen anyone more disgusted with life than Cam Whitmore, and who had more stands than Cam Whitmore. I mean, the Cam fans were, and I get it. I get it. Actually, the dude, we all wanted him to just play to his potential and be cool with being, you know, whatever his role was. He just couldn't do it.
Now, he had all the ingredients. He fell in the draft. You thought you got, like, a top 10 player where you picked him.
Which you got a top 10 talent.
It was all the – it had all the ingredients of developing a Stan culture. He fell in the draft, super talented, can get a bucket anytime he wants. But some of the reasons he fell are some reasons it didn't work out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, so anyway, he's coming back tomorrow. Rockets, we talked Rockets.
Do they acknowledge him? He's not getting a video.
No.
Do they acknowledge him?
He's not even getting an acknowledgement. Oh, yeah, he'll have fans there clapping for him.
So the Rockets won't go, welcome back, Cam Whitmore, like over the PA? They won't even do
that? Does he start for them right now?
No.
Okay. No.
When he comes into the game, does he get booed?
Let's go, Rockets! We'll hear the guy say that.
Does he get a hand when he comes off the bench?
Yeah, he will. He will.
He might.
Yeah, the Cam fans, there's not going to be anyone who boos him. Like, we were all disappointed that he didn't become a better player. I was just disappointed that he couldn't, like, become a better teammate because he has all the talent to develop into a. Can you imagine if you had a good attitude Cam Whitmore coming off the bench with Tari Eason? Holy crap. That'd be great, but you can't just wish and hope. This Tiger's not changing his stripes. So, and he may knew that, and that's why he had to go. I mean, I don't care what Cam does moving forward. If he does good, great. If he doesn't do good,
19
care.
Points and 20 points in the last two games on good efficiency. So, playing pretty well the last
couple
games.
Dude can ball. Cam Whitmore, the basketball is not a problem. But at some point, this is a good Rockets team, and you don't want to mess with, like, if you're not going to get on board, you got to get out. We got too many players now. We don't have
need it. No, you can't have a guy that had his attitude. You just can't. Mm-mm. You just can't. It's, you know, listen, Tari could have that kind of deal going on. He doesn't, which is nice. Because that dude wants, I mean, he turned down their offer. He's not, I doubt he's going to receive. We're going to get Kyle Tuckered here. He's going to get, well, he's a restricted free agent this offseason, but maybe somebody's going to offer him something that the Rockets can't match. And that's just fine. But I don't see Tari long-term here because he just wants to be, he wants to be on the floor. He wants to be considered. And here, he's not one of your top, he's not a, he's a core guy in that he's one of your rotation, top seven rotation, but probably sixth rotation. But he's not, he wants to be a top, you know, he was disappointed. Did you see? He was just really disappointed that he wasn't mentioned as a top 100 player in the league.
He wants to spread his wings.
Yeah.
And when you're not mentioned in that group, you look, why? Why not? And he talked about it. It was one of the quotes of the offseason before training camp. He wanted more opportunities. He said, hey, maybe a play or two run for me. I'd like that. I want to do more. I want to expand my game. Can he get that done here? I don't know. To the level that he wants, at least.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, by the way, you talk about maybe people put something in that makes him not makes the Rockets say no, we can't sign him. We did not talk about the poison pill stuff that went on with the Micah Parsons trade.
Oh my God, what a brilliant poison pill!
Yeah. So both sides did it.
What do you mean the Eagles did it too? The Green Bay Packers did it too.
Like if for whatever reason the Cowboys traded Kenny Clark to a division rival of the Packers.
Oh yeah, that went the other way.
They would get
Kenny Clark.
Round pick from the Cowboys.
Yeah, so both teams basically put poison pills on their trade that said you can't until 2028 or maybe through 2028, you're not allowed to trade. I just know that's what it was for Michael Parsons, is you're not allowed to trade Michael Parsons to anyone in the division, or was it specifically the Eagles?
Anyone in the NFC East.
Okay, anyone in the NFC East. That was brilliant. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
And they.
Well, and that's I'll do that all day. I mean, yeah.
And then Kenny Clark.
I promise I won't trade him to the Redskins.
The reason that was a big deal is because Micah Parsons is from that area and grew up an Eagles fan, and Howie Roseman's looking to get Rush.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys knew that, hey, there's a chance they could, you know, turn around and flip this guy at some point. So let's just make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Make sure that doesn't happen. It's not like Micah didn't give off the vibe of being happy to be gone from Dallas initially. I mean, he's played in cold weather before, so I don't know if it's that. But Green Bay, you know, if you have any lifestyle expectations, John, and you can speak to this, going from Dallas to Green Bay, woo, woo, sing it.
I'm telling you.
Woo.
That the 3 years I spent in Green Bay were like the
you can,
the
you can have a good time
in, of my life.
You can have a young player can have a good time in Dallas. Not real sure.
Not Green Bay.
Better book some flights to have a good
James
time.
James Jones once told me about. I was asking James Jones. I said, "What did y'all do for fun in Green Bay?" He said, "Went to Milwaukee." He said, "You ain't doing anything in Green Bay." He goes, "You have to deal with fans nonstop. If you want to do anything, and there's nothing fun to do," he goes, "we go to Milwaukee." I said, "How was that?" He goes, "It was some cool places." He said, for some of the guys, it was really cool places. He goes, "Other guys might not have liked Milwaukee as much," but he goes, "For me, for a receiver, for some of the young," he said, it was okay for us. He said, "But some of those offensive linemen probably wouldn't have liked Milwaukee as much."
He said,
"Green Bay's more their speed."
Yeah. Oh my God. It's nobody's
How
speed.
Far are you away from Chicago? You're not that far. Well, you can't just go out to Chicago.
Chicago's three hours.
Yeah, you're not just going out one night 3 hours away.
No.
How far is Milwaukee from Green Bay?
Milwaukee's an hour and a half to two.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Golly.
No.
That's still a trip.
Terrible.
How did Green Bay get a football? Well, I guess they got a football team because they got it in about 1820.
Yeah, and then Reggie White made it cool.
And they don't have an owner. Well, God told them to go there and straighten out all the
after he got his free agency offer. All God's right. Like, ooh, you can't pass that money up, Reg.
Talking about Robin right now from Houston Powder Coaters. That's my girl.
Loves she the Cougs. Awesome. Loves the Cougs.
She I'm loves a Coug. The Cougs. I'm a Coug. Okay, that's what she said. That's what she said. But she also loves our listeners. You heard that. I don't know if you've heard that commercial, because she does. She loves our listeners because our listeners respond to Houston Powder Coaters. We really do. We need stuff powder coated, okay? Because we've got old metal. But I'm going to tell you this about old metal. Old metal is much better metal, okay, than the metal that's being made today. It's not as good. It's just not. Okay, so here's the deal. You want something that's going to last. And if you've got older metal and it's starting to look shingot, okay, you've got patio furniture, the slats and the straps and all the stuff, not great. They can make it great. Okay, they can re-strap it. I don't know what the term is, technical term is, but that's it. They can make that patio furniture look awesome in the colors that you want it to be. And that's something, I mean, if you're out there supporting your NFL team and you want furniture, you want your chairs to look like your team, they do that. They can do it like with any color, any whatever team you root for, they can make them look great. But the most important thing is they can save it. And you want to save that stuff because the new patio furniture, not as good, just not as good. So you're looking for the best way to keep that stuff, whether it's because you got sentimental value or you just want to keep the older stuff, HoustonPowderCoaters.com. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it right here.